It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines. From locals to the pros. With interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Step back three.
Yes, sir.
Get a shot up. This is for the win.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
My, just in time on a Friday edition of Overtime. Minnesota Vikings fans, we hear you. You are coming. You're set up. Got a cornerstone on the defensive side, a quarterback of the future, and I can't find a single Minnesota Vikings fan that is upset about last night's first round, and that hasn't been said in probably, 60, 70 years of the NFL draft for the Minnesota Vikings. It is a huge changing of the guard, and with that, we're skipping the headlines. We're skipping the scorecard today, and we're diving right in. Dustin Baker back again. Yesterday, we previewed the draft. Today, we recap round number one. And it was a fun one for you and yours last night. How the heck you doing today?
Not bad at all. I want to start off by saying I was wrong. I did think Drake May would be the pick. I thought they would trade up with New England. But my little birds that chirp told me that all of that smoke about New England indeed wanting four first-rounders was true. And Kwesi just wasn't willing to do it. So we got what we got, and I am elated this morning to be here and with the Vikings Hall.
And there's so much to talk about because, of course, the only negative you could find, the players are rock solid. Again, I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy or Dallas Turner is going to go on to be a Hall of Famer from a Packers perspective. I hope they don't. But the initial reaction is you got two premium guys in the first round, pretty darn great. But the only negative and the only thing you look at is, man, what did we have to give up to get there? And I said earlier this week, take the swing, Minnesota. You've never won a Super Bowl. You haven't been to a Super Bowl in a very long time. Step up to the plate, crank the bat up on your shoulder, and take a swing. And that's just what they did last night. I think you got to feel pretty excited, not just the guys that they got, but how they got them and the value exchange to get there.
Yeah, there was three positives to take away for Vikings fans, especially if you were a Drake May guy, hell or high water. The first is, they've identified their quarterback of the future. There wasn't any angst, or it wasn't like a Christian Ponder feel. It was like, well, they got to take somebody. It was very visible that McCarthy was their guy. And he fell to them after months of deliberation that we thought they would have to trade up into pick number five, for example. So foremost, they got their quarterback of the future. Secondarily, they got Dallas Turner, who in most mock drafts, I kid you not, we expected an offensive bonanza.
And by the way,
draft.
We called the slide, unintentional slide of Dallas Turner, and he slid right into the Vikings' lap there, so continue.
We didn't think that there would be, what was it, first 15, 16, 17 picks would be offensive players. Most mock drafts, credible ones, had Dallas Turner, the first defensive player off the board, to the Falcons. So the Vikings arguably got the top defensive player per the folks' projections in the draft by trading back up to 17 to get him. So the second takeaway is they got a premier defender. Alabama guys rarely just flop. So, and I spent so little time thinking about the 23rd pick for the last 3 months because I thought it was going to be sold no matter what. So it felt like gravy to get Dallas Turner. And then the final aspect is Minnesota didn't have to leverage the future in terms of first-round draft capital. Unless J.J. McCarthy is sitting on some C.J. Stroud-like acclimation to the league, the Vikings probably aren't going to be very good next year. I'm going to guess their ceiling is 7-10 or 8-9, which means when we're chatting next year at this time, they're going to need to preserve that first-round pick. They didn't have to give up any first-rounders to get their guy, and we spent 2 or 3 months talking about, gosh, is it going to be 3 first-rounders, or are they going to have to give 4 to New England? They gave 0, and that's where we're at.
The Vikings move from pick 11 to pick 10 with the Jets. They may move with the Jaguars from pick 23 down to pick 17. And to be fair, for all the nerds out there, everything that Kwesi did give up, and that includes the trade to get number 23 originally with Houston, and the fact that they are number 23 with Houston, and the fact that they incrementally moved up both picks in round number one, you package all that value together, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, whatever value chart you look at, all of the value that they exchanged to get the second first round pick, and then to move both those picks up is around a first round value as well. Is that what I was reading last night and into this morning when it comes to the second rounders, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and everything they gave up to get there? Is that right?
It depends on which calculator you use. Now there's about six. If you use the standard Jimmy Johnson or Rich Hill chart, it's close to a wash with the other teams getting a slight advantage. If you use PFFs or some of the more progressive ones, yes, then it looks like they donated a first rounder. But this is the caveat there is we expected to be raked over the coals with this New England trade. So anything less than that is a prize. So if you look at it through the lens of what's it going to take to get your quarterback of the future, we already knew that we were going to come in on the short end of the stick in terms of trade calculators. So it met in the middle in terms of value, but then you also got Dallas Turner on top of it. So it was kind of a meet in the middle compromise. And in the end, the Moneyball general manager who was reared on Wall Street wasn't willing to sell it all for Drake May.
And I talked about this earlier in the week and the importance of potentially keeping next year's first, even if you don't have anything else, which is kind of what it's looking like. Right now, Minnesota's got a first rounder next year and two fives. Is that right?
That's it, yes.
So what I said earlier this week and what I'll say again is the way that he plays the game and the way that he thinks, and a lot of people should think this way, is that first round pick is indeed a first round pick. But what can it be? What do I mean by that? What can it be? If the Vikings have a top 8, top 10 pick, maybe that's now a top 25 pick and a second and a third. Maybe he can parlay it into more picks moving forward. So the importance of keeping your premium picks, first, second, third, is paramount. But first rounder, of course, weighs so much more than those other picks in succession. They gave up a lot to get what they got, but they did get two high quality guys moving forward. One of them a day one starter, or should be. Turner's got some competition to get on the field with Van Ginkle and Grenard and other guys there. But J.J. McCarthy, future of the franchise, you got Darnold, maybe some time to rest. I think the juice is worth the squeeze.
Yes, and when we get to draft time next year, as soon as January or February, I can guarantee you that we will be talking about a trade down for the Vikings. It doesn't matter if they have the first overall pick, they go 2-15. They will trade that pick to start, like the Bears did last year, to start stockpiling, because that's how you recover those draft assets. And yes, overall, generally speaking, when we came from a baseline of what's it going to take to get McCarthy, who we all kind of speculated would be their guy because he's so much like Kevin O'Connell. When the plunge began and it felt like, man, this guy's going to get 211, it felt really good to know they didn't have to spend the farm when we were told for weeks that they probably would have to. And I keep thinking about how, like, Vikings fans' head would have exploded if the Falcons would have taken McCarthy. That would have been so wild because that would have meant that the damn Atlanta team got both the Vikings quarterbacks.
Yeah, it would have been interesting, and that is another thing. If there's a Falcon fan, by the way, in the 605 that's listening to the show right now, please, oh, please dial me up. I got to hear from you. 605-362-3776. And that goes for all football fans out there. We want to make this your draft home today. Yesterday was a ton of fun with our mock draft. We did pretty darn well. I think we got 28 out of the 32 in the first round. I haven't done our match game yet to see how many we got in the exact spot, but we did pretty well, I think, overall. We even called the Dallas Turner slide unintentionally. If you want to weigh in, good, bad, or indifferent on your team, maybe you're a Denver Broncos fan. How are you feeling today with Bo Nix as your quarterback of the future? Maybe your quarterback of today, not a whole lot of competition. Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson there, certainly two guys that may or may not be good quarterbacks to learn from. Dial us up. We'd love to hear from you today on this recap of day number one, night number one of the NFL draft. Night number two, by the way, begins tonight. Coverage right here on ESPN Sioux Falls at 5 o'clock. The number is always to weigh in on the show. If you just want to yell at me, if you want to scream, hey, we're doing it, we're going to the Super Bowl, if you're the Vikings fans out there, 605-362-3776. Beat your chest and sing the praises of your team for round number one. Caleb Williams, number one overall. Jaden Daniels, 2. Drake May, 3. Followed by Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. Joe Alt at 5. Malik Nabers, number 6 to the New York Giants. J.C. Latham, 7. Michael Penix Jr. at 8. Roma Dunze, 9, and J.J. McCarthy, number 10. That's your top 10 from last night's NFL draft. When it comes to the early picks, I know probably, man, that's a letdown to see Drake May go to New England. Everybody kind of held firm on not trading back, at least for a little while. That was surprising. I don't think the value was as good as people thought. But when it comes to other reports out there, including this one, ESPN.com, the Vikings were one of two teams kicking the tires on a Justin Herbert trade. Interesting stuff, because you know the Vikings will say today, just like any team, whatever player they draft, whatever quarterback they draft, we had our eyes on this guy, we love this guy, he's been our guy all along, hey, we love to have you, and that's great. But there probably were preferences along the way. Maybe they liked Drake May. Maybe they just didn't want to mortgage the future that much, and they get McCarthy instead, and clearly they like the idea of Justin Herbert. What say you about all those little birds chirping today about all the different scenarios and where you ended up at quarterback?
Well, if they don't have preferences or contingency plans, then they're stupid.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be a little odd for any team that was quarterback needy not to call the Chargers, especially after Jim Harbaugh spews all of this pro-McCarthy stuff, like almost weird-like that it was intentional that he wanted McCarthy. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah said yesterday that he said, you should see some of our reactions when we see stuff that's written out there about us. So I don't know who it was that would inquire from the Vikings about Herbert. But they should have if he was going to be for sale. Of course, it would be tricky to navigate a salary cap with Herbert's salary after we just spent 6 years with Cousins. But the beauty of Herbert would have been you don't have to worry about any type of bust potential with McCarthy or May or any of these guys. You have a guaranteed good commodity, extend Jefferson and then just get really financially tight for the foreseeable future, which we've done. We know we can work that. So I'm glad. If it's accurate at all that they called about Herbert, I think it was at the Combine somebody asked about it. That shows that they were doing the right moves because Herbert hedges the bet. If they could have landed, any team could have acquired him, then you don't have to worry about Christian Ponder. I can't even use a Packers example of a bust quarterback. So that's why I always pivot back to Christian Ponder. Is
that Brian Brown.
Oh, boy. poor Packer fan. I'm glad that they inquired about Herbert, but it doesn't surprise me at all that he wasn't for sale because at a very minimum, the Chargers would have had to eat $63 million in dead cap if they traded him. And that's on top of the notion of what are we doing? Why are we going to trade a top 6-7 quarterback? That's the hard part, is figuring out that position.
Yeah, and obviously the monetary considerations, the big bugaboo. Similar to Justin Jefferson, though, when he gets his deal, he ain't going anywhere, and I don't think he's going anywhere in the meantime, although some fans and some people out there still speculate Justin Jefferson contract situation a little concerning. According to our buddy Thor Nystrom, by the way, he put together that 500 candidate prospect big board that's available at fantasypros.com. J.J. McCarthy was his third overall prospect, and Dallas Turner was his 18th overall prospect, and that feels a little bit low compared to every other analyst out there. I got to ask you this honestly, because I know you were excited about Drake May.
Yeah.
Who moves the needle from an excitement perspective? And, of course, quarterbacks are quarterbacks. They're going to be on the field a ton. Dallas Turner really darn good, too. Who moves the needle more for you personally? Be honest.
Last night, it was Turner, because, I'll reiterate, from a writer's perspective, I spent so little time thinking about who they're going to get at 23, because I thought when they traded with the Texans on March 15th that was a precursor to another trade up the board. So here and there, I'd be like, oh, it'd be sweet if they got Byron Murphy as defensive tackle somewhere in the first round. It just didn't feel realistic. So the fact that Dallas Turner felt like gravy last night when I went to bed was like, I can't believe it. But in terms of the long game perspective, we're going to now, as paranoid Vikings fans, we're going to hope that they got McCarthy right. So generally speaking, I'm more excited about McCarthy because unlike your team, we don't have stability at quarterback. It's a mini miracle when a guy stays for 3 years. That's why Cousins was a blessing, is because he nailed down the stability. Now, so for the first time since Teddy Bridgewater a decade ago, we have the opportunity to nurture a quarterback and have him blossom into a Joe Burrow or a Josh Allen. It's going to take some time, folks. Vikings fans, don't at me after his first three and out. They take time to develop, but we do have this rarefied Vikings opportunity to have one of our own, just like the Packers do it, or the Bills do it, or the Chiefs do it. That is the big takeaway for me, is we have the infrastructure with the offensive weaponry and Kevin O'Connell, who's a quarterback himself, and Josh McCown, who was a quarterback's coach. If this doesn't work, I don't know what will. What could the Vikings have done differently? You have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, and two quarterbacks as the guy that they're doing the development. If this doesn't work, I don't know what will.
The Minnesota Vikings, very, very exciting future, and you should be excited today. If you want to weigh in on the show and express that excitement or dismay, if you're a Falcons fan, a Broncos fan, or a fan of someone else, 605-362-3776. By the way, for the Packer fans out there, we did it. We got a good player. Do not panic. And it's a mixed bag every time with any franchise that takes a tackle. Even the Chargers last night. I guarantee you, you're on Chargers Twitter. You're on Chargers media. It's a mixed bag. They got the best tackle and one of the best tackle prospects we've seen in a long time in Joe Alt. And I'm sure there's fans out there saying, I wanted Malik Nabers. I wanted Brock Bowers. I wanted some weapons. Maybe we even trade down, take a running back, whatever. It's not exciting. It's never exciting to get an offensive tackle. The Packers got Jordan Morgan, somebody that was on my short list for the pick. And I am aware that Cooper DeJean, my favorite player in the first round, was on the board. But I'll tell you this, two things. Our biggest need for the Packers, and yes, I'm one of those wee people when it comes to a franchise and something that I spend so much of my time investing my energy and my emotions into. It is wee. If you're a fan of your team, I'm never going to bug you about that. But the Packers' biggest need, and it wasn't pressing, this guy doesn't have to start right away, but the biggest need was to protect the quarterback that you just found out is an absolute stud. Last year at this time, we had David Bakhtiari. We had other options. You just found out Jordan Love is pretty darn good. Top-tier quarterback. I'm not going to put a number on it, although some people might bait me into saying he's a top 10 guy, top 5 guy. That's to be determined, and I'll say that completely honestly. But you got to protect the best player on your team, and Jordan Love is rapidly ascending by subtraction as well, because Aaron Jones was one of our best players. Jordan Love, the face of the franchise, he's a dynamic young quarterback. You got to keep him upright. Rashid Walker, pretty good at left tackle. Jordan Morgan might be better. Maybe he slides into right tackle and they kick Zach Tom inside. It was a big win for the Packers last night. Was it sexy? Heck no, it was not sexy. Never offensive is. Linemen really aren't, although this guy does look like a beefed up version of Jason Momoa, which is pretty darn cool. But we got all sorts of hype and all sorts of critique coming for the Packers last night. It's a slow and steady wins the race. And as I said yesterday, not braggadociously, not bragging about the Green Bay Packers, there's not some crazy burning fire need for the Packers where they're desperate. It's pretty darn boring more years than not. And now Packers kind of where they were 2, 3, 4 years ago, where they don't have to draft this guy or that guy in the first round. There's no can't-miss guy, especially when you're picking in the mid-20s. Jordan Morgan, tackle from Arizona, I'm on board. Am I fired up today about it? No. But am I panicked about it? No. I just really like it. I don't love it. I really like it for the Packers. Might not be a day-one guy, but it's certainly a guy that's versatile, tackle, guard, left or right. And I like the addition there. And the best part, the Green Bay Packers have 4 picks over tonight. 2 in the second, 2 in the third, opportunities to trade up. And that guy named Cooper DeJean got passed up by 31 other selections last night. And he's still available. So the Packers could trade up and get him. Maybe, just maybe. That would be sweet. But again, the Packers typically not very aggressive. Last time they packaged 2 twos to move up higher in round number 2. They took some guy named Christian Watson just a couple of years ago. That is segment number 1. We're taking an early break today because we've got so much to talk about. And I would love to involve some of you listeners out there. If you want to get involved in the show, talk about the Vikings, talk about the Bears, talk about the Chiefs, talk about whoever from the draft last night, we'd love for you to call in over break. I'll pot you up and get you going and off and running into the weekend. By the way, today on the show, High Noon Showdown is at noon, and I've also got 4 finalists out of our list of, what, 28 or 29 individuals for our draft contest. It is down to 4, and these individuals have nailed all 4 picks so far. Only thing up for grabs is the tiebreaker total number of wide receivers taken in the total NFL draft over the weekend. We'll keep it here and take a break real quick, come back and talk more about the Vikings reaction immediate and today and moving forward. We'll grade most of the picks in the first round, talk about the big time bugaboo, Kirk Cousins saying, oh man, I'm just a little bit too gosh darn upset about this pick. We'll weigh in on that in Atlanta coming up next.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
It's Bert Ramin. It's Dustin Baker back with you on the Friday edition of Overtime right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. VikingsTerritory.com, the place to go for your draft night recaps. According to Dustin Baker, Vikings somehow got the best of both worlds in the draft. That article's up. Also, another article that's interesting, might pique the interest. Vikings fans could just skip the draft entirely tonight, but here's how the Vikings can get draft picks for tonight. Interesting articles always, VikingsTerritory.com. I'm sure a lot of reaction coming on Vikes Now on YouTube, VikingsTerritory.com in the coming days. We talked about what has you the most fired up. I want to ask you, though, as you sit here now, J.J. McCarthy, Sam Darnold, what does your gut tell you as far as how long Darnold will play? Because as logic would have it, you sign a quarterback to a $10 million deal, he might be the guy for a month or two, right?
Yes. Here is the caveat. So when I was convinced that Drake May, stars were aligning for him, he was considered more rawer than McCarthy. So I've already conceded in my head that, all right, Sam Darnold's going to play an indefinite period. Now, McCarthy is supposed to be a little bit more game ready, even though he's younger. The guy just turned 21. But I keep going back to this quote that Kevin O'Connell had over and over. When Justin Jefferson was recovering from his injury last season, every week it felt like, well, he could probably play if it was a playoff game. And O'Connell would say, we want to ramp him up as if he's going to play, and then they would not play him. We're going to, then the next week, it's like, well, what we want to do is we want to ramp Justin up. So I think I'm going to hear that this August, is that we want to ramp McCarthy up as if he's going to be our starter. And then when the time comes for him to take over, that will happen. I really do think Sam Darnold will be the week one starter, and I'm coming to a piece with it because there is a chance that he has that Baker Mayfield gene and does quite well. Ultimately, that won't matter how well he does because it is going to be the McCarthy show. But if I had to bet right now, because of McCarthy's youth and the price point that you mentioned, $10 million, yes, I am fully in. If it were up to me, I would start McCarthy right away and just let him take his lumps. But I expect Darnold to be the week one starter.
And that was the question around the building for a lot of Vikings fans. Came over to my desk this morning and said, hey, Bert, I think we did pretty good. And I said, yeah, you did. And hey, when's that guy going to get on the field, though? And that was my kind of answer, was probably a month or two. We'll see how the season goes.
Maybe even longer.
I mean, if the Vikings are 0-4, as fate would have it and as kind of as history has told us, those quarterbacks that are the stopgap guys do not really weather the storm through bad play. So if Darnold is playing okay or playing good in a bad start, they could keep playing. But if he's playing bad and the Vikings are 0-4, 1-4, 1-5, 2-6, whatever, I think McCarthy will see the field pretty decently early. Maybe not the first month, but sometime soon. And the preseason will be a lot of fun, too, to see J.J. McCarthy out there yipping it up against the other youngsters. Let's talk about some of the bad storylines here. We'll talk about the winners and the losers, but I wanted to talk about some of the big bad storylines that kind of hit close to home, a couple fan bases in our area, and a tie, obviously, down in Atlanta. We'll start in Denver, though. Bo Nix, a guy whose big concern coming into the draft is the deep ball. Outside the numbers, 20-plus yards down the field. Can he make those throws? Probably not consistently in the NFL. So now it's interesting out in Denver because Sean Payton did his best work with some guy named Drew Brees, who was noted as not having an elite arm. But Drew Brees was able to do so much. They built the offense around him. He was a statistical god in most categories and a Hall of Fame quarterback. Won a Super Bowl. Should have won more. Where do you think, and what do you think of the fit there? I know the pick was early. It really was at pick 12 for Bo Nix, a guy who maybe should have been out of the first round, and some people had him out of the second round. What do you make of the fit in the future of Denver with Bo Nix?
If you are a Broncos fan and somewhat underwhelmed by Bo Nix, this is the penalty for whiffing on the Russell Wilson trade.
Yep.
You can't, when you have that half-measured solution, we all thought it was great at the time, don't get me wrong. You have to start to build your way back, and you couldn't be in the sweepstakes for Drake May or any of those because you're just recovering from a nasty trade. Now, with Nix, the story goes, if anybody's going to make him good, the only person in the world, it's probably going to be Sean Payton because of the parallels to Brees that you mentioned. But right now, they're going to go, I keep thinking about this from a Vikings fan perspective, like, what if the Vikings solution was Zach Wilson and Bo Nix? I would be nauseated. No offense to Broncos fans, mainly because the Vikings have always done stuff like that, just kind of said, hey, this will work with some journeyman who hasn't worked out. They're going to have a camp battle, and it's going to have Jarrett Stidham, who they like, Zach Wilson, who could always, I guess, turn it around, and then Bo Nix. I don't like it, but I don't have to. I think, even though I do not like Sean Payton and no Vikings fan does, I think they're in decent hands to get the best out of what they can possibly get. And I don't know who will be the starter. It probably won't be Nix right away. What I've learned over, 30 years of football fan, I'm almost 40 now, is the quarterbacks that can't throw outside the numbers, they always are really limited. And that's why Teddy Bridgewater didn't take off. I'm starting to think maybe that's why Lamar Jackson isn't a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, is those guys that just try to keep it over the middle, they can only go so far. That's why Josh Dobbs only worked for 2 weeks.
Matt Leinart, another guy, very similar.
So you have to, if you're a Broncos fan, and I know a lot of you are listening, you have to lean in to the hope and dream that Sean Payton is the whisperer that can unlock Nix, because his college tape is just like one of those bad examples of a guy who doesn't throw outside the numbers. And if you want to be elite, you absolutely have to be surgical outside the numbers.
And it's an interesting hedge leading up to the draft to get Zach Wilson, because that saved the Broncos a trade up for Penix or Nix or whoever, because if they didn't have Wilson, they may have traded up to get Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. But I still think Denver at 12, that's the most disappointing part, is they took Nix at 12. If they took Nix at 15, if they took him at 18, if they took him at 20, if they took him at their second round pick, that wouldn't be so bad. We wouldn't be talking about that. But Bo Nix, interesting to say the least, out in Denver. The big, funny, Viking-related situation, Atlanta, Kirk Cousins, and I've got a huge, crazy gripe here, and I was yelling, not at Dustin, but just yelling in here before the show got started, because the people that are defending the Atlanta Falcons after last night, I think, are out of their mind. Because, again, similarly to what we said with Nix, I don't have a problem that they took Penix. Mm-hmm. My problem is the way they did, where they took him, and what they did this offseason leading into the NFL draft and the future of their franchise. They just spent a boatload of money and some illegal tampering to get Kirk Cousins down to town. And they get him on a big deal, probably, really, all things considered, it's a 2-year deal for Kirk Cousins, and they'll probably have to chew on some dead cap and get him out of town because they just drafted Michael Penix. If they keep Kirk for the full 4 years, Penix will be 28 years old by the time he starts down there in Atlanta. Now, Penix is certainly a guy that has potential, maybe some time to rest, whatever, and learn from behind Kirk Cousins, who is a true pros pro. We know that, and we loved him for a while here in the Twin Cities area. So, and by we, I don't mean I'm part of the Vikings fan. I wanted to go ahead and clarify that. But the people that are saying this is the Packers model, good for the Falcons. This is exactly what the Packers do. This is the Green Bay Packers. Rest them. And it's not the Packers model, because the Green Bay Packers don't sign quarterbacks to mega huge deals on the open market and the same offseason draft a quarterback. That has never happened in Green Bay. The Green Bay Packers model is draft and develop. And I know Favre was traded for, but he was a trash heap second round pick guy. And then they relied on Favre from 1992 all the way up until 2004 when they took 2005 and they took Aaron Rodgers. So it's always been a draft and develop for Green Bay, and they've had Aaron Rodgers, and sure, they got him a bigger contract and then went in and drafted Jordan Love. But the reason they did that is because, hey, we love Aaron Rodgers. We think he's great right now. But what can we do 2-3 years down the line when Rodgers is ready to hang it up, because he's talking about retirement already? It's not the Packers model down in Atlanta, and it's not even close to me. And if there's one team that gets an F- last night in the draft, it's Atlanta, because you sign a quarterback like that, you get receivers in town like Darnell Mooney and others joining that fold and joining the team, new head coach. You think you're going to win now if you go out and take a swing on a big veteran quarterback. I do not understand the pick last night. Bad news for Falcons fans.
I agree that it isn't the Packers model. It's just kind of a casual take to say it is, they're going to have the guy sit. This is a bright, flashing billboard that the Kirk Cousins deal is only 2 years. It would be a little bit different if the Falcons would have really irritated all of us Vikings fans and taken J.J. McCarthy, because he is so young. But Penix is close to like Hendon Hooker age. Penix is going to be 24 here. I think it's next month.
Yeah.
And so to your point, if they go the distance with Kirk 4 years, which they won't, he would be 28 years old. So it's the fit was odd for a couple reasons. The age part, and then they didn't let Kirk know until like the pick was about to be announced, which is just feels like shady business. And I think maybe that's the Packer. Maybe that's part of the Packer parallel, is that Kirk wasn't informed. And I just don't understand. They didn't even really meet with Penix. They didn't do they didn't have these lengthy meetings. They just saw what they saw and like, let's take this guy. Now, in their defense, we joked about it yesterday. They don't need tons of playmakers.
Yep.
So maybe they just feel like, hey, we can get gravy. We can just get a quarterback of the future. There were defensive players there as well. I don't know how this works when you have a guy like Cousins who's naturally already a little timid. Like, one of the things that drove me nuts as a Vikings fan with him, he always talked like he could get benched at any minute. Like, you know, he'd say in press conferences, well, I don't know. I don't know how long I'll play here. Hey, if I throw too many picks, I could be benched. He never had that, like, nobody's going to bench me. And that's what you want out of your quarterback. Now, with a guy, an old rookie, is going to be nipping at his heels. Maybe it'll inspire competition. It'll light the fire. But Cousins is not really the best guy to have on your roster if you want to have a guy watch and learn, because Cousins is a little bit insecure when it comes to like a QB1 might be. Like, I don't know that he's going to be like, yeah, bring him on. I'm going to raise him. No, they should have let him know early in the process that, by the way, when we sign you, we're going to be looking for, you know, your replacement, because that's something that you, as Cousins, you'd want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Because he probably had a reasonable free agent market, maybe even come back to the Vikings on the discounted two-year deal. I just don't understand it, and a lot of it has to do because the Falcons didn't scout Penix extensively in terms of private visits.
And just like the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, the Atlanta Falcons and the Packers do not owe Rodgers or Cousins, hey, this is what we're doing. They don't owe him that at all, because you don't want a quarterback or somebody who's going to say, yeah, draft my replacement. That sounds great from the quarterback. Like, you don't have to communicate that, but certainly in the free agent visit and you're courting Cousins, I don't know if those conversations took place, but based on last night, it does not seem like that was likely. Hand out some grades for me real quick before we go to break. As far as these teams go, Chicago Bears, what's the grade for them last night? Pick 1 and pick 9, and they did exactly what we thought they would.
Yeah, this is a spoiler for the next segment, A, and I hate giving them that grade, but they didn't have to trade up for Adunze.
Yep.
And kind of felt like if they wanted him, they would have to do that, otherwise he wouldn't fall to 9. So assuming that Chicago doesn't mess these guys up, they have a track record of doing that. They got two premium talents.
Okay, a couple other picks here that stood out to me in the first round. Joe Alt, number 5 to the Chargers. Where do you have that on your scale, A to F?
Oh, A.
Yeah.
He's a bloodline guy. His dad was for the Chiefs, an offensive tackle. And, yeah, there's no doubt Alt's going to be good, so kudos to them.
A couple other highlight picks here. I'm interested. I don't want to spoil too much of next segment. We're going to hand out our three biggest winners, three biggest losers. And I told Dustin, I know the Vikings are a winner. Please don't put them in your winner category. We get it. Give me three others. Other guys that stood out, Brock Bowers, 13 to the Raiders. What do you make of the fit? What's the grade there? Obviously, really good player.
Well, he is phenomenal. I hate this pick for a few reasons. Fantasy football hell. Now they have Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. Who knows which one's going to end up? They're probably going to split targets for 4 years. And I don't trust the, kind of like I said with the Bears, I don't trust the Raiders to get the best out of Bowers. I was hoping Bowers would go somewhere like the Chargers, where he would have been showcased. But this is fantasy football bias showing through, especially dynasty fantasy football. I hate Bowers going to the Raiders.
Couple other ones just for our area teams. Grade the Lions at pick 24. They traded up to get Terrion Arnold, the cornerback who is a top 10 value from Alabama. And then the Chiefs at 28, they trade up to get Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver from Texas. Where do you stand on those two, Detroit and Kansas City?
With Detroit, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt now in the last two or three drafts that if they're doing it, it's probably smart. So, you know, the fact they had to trade up a little bit, I'd say A-. With the Chiefs, I don't like the history of fastest guy in the draft.
Yeah.
That rarely translates to anything. John Ross could tell you all about it. However, this is kind of like a mantra we've been saying with Sean Payton and stuff. If anybody's going to make it work, it's going to be the Chiefs. But I'm going to rest on my laurels here and say a B-, because it just, for some reason, the fastest guy in the draft just really doesn't matter.
And I agree with that, and the fact that they traded up for him makes it just a little bit worse. We will be handing out our top three winners, top three losers. We haven't conferred on this at all. We'll probably, as usual, touch home base together a few times, but we'll wait and see. Dustin Baker in for the remainder of hour number one. We'll also talk best players still available. The best player still available, according to Mel Kiper Jr., is a Sioux Falls native. We'll tell you who that is coming up later on in hour number one, and we'll continue to break down round number one and talk about the Minnesota Vikings NFL draft future. That's coming up on this Friday edition of Overtime.
Stream us on app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on the Friday edition of Overtime. It's time to now hand out our biggest winners and biggest losers in round number one. The Chicago Bears picked Caleb Williams number one overall as we're breaking down round number one, talking round two and three in just a few minutes as well, and what to expect from the Minnesota Vikings the rest of the draft with Dustin Baker of VikingsTerritory.com. By the way, my friend, tell us a little bit on the plans for the next YouTube show, Vikes Now. What are the plans? What's in the work there to break down the draft? I'm sure in the next couple days or weeks.
Oh, so I have a Fan Friday segment that got off the ground 3 weeks ago, and that just happened to be organically the next spot. So I recorded that earlier today. A couple fan guests that I had never met, and they came on. Of course, they were excited about the pick. Let's see, tomorrow we'll have some, probably tonight we'll have some breakdown with Brevin Bain, who's one of my co-hosts. And then next week I'm going to get Thor Nystrom on. He might actually end up having a show on the Vikes Now channel on YouTube. But he's the perfect guy to talk to
because
he's been the McCarthy guy. He's a lifelong Vikings fan from Brainerd. He probably had the best night in the football world last night because he's been the leader of the pro-McCarthy movement. He's also a diehard Vikings fan. So, yeah, we'll have Thor on soon to go through this.
And, y'all, I've always said this on the show. You're my favorite Vikings fan, but Thor is a 1B
for
me. He's awesome. He's an awesome guy, and it just stinks that he roots for that terrible team out there. But let's talk about some winners and losers in the first round. Vikings, obviously, even from a Packers perspective, you guys did pretty darn well last night. But who are a couple winners for you? Let's take these one at a time. I'll give you my first one in a second because I think I'm going off the beaten path a little bit. Give me your first big winner last night.
Well, we already talked about Chicago, so I want to document it, as it pains me to say it, that they were a winner, but I don't want to be duplicative.
Yep.
Washington is a winner for me because since Kirk Cousins left there in 2018, every passing stat you ever pull up in the last 6 years, Washington's at the bottom. So they really didn't make out well letting Kirk walk. I think they finally have an opportunity with a new leadership, with this brand new quarterback. I think that this is the way. Commanders fans are probably... It's a new day for them, and I like that they didn't get too complicated. They didn't trade out of it. They just picked a prospect who has a lot of upside.
And I really co-sign on Washington. They were my second big winner last night. They stuck to their guns. They took their guy. And if you recall, last season, they had that fire sale. They got rid of Montez Sweat. They got rid of Chase Young. They got a second round pick. They got a third round pick for those two individuals. They've got a lot of picks the next couple days, a lot of picks over the weekend, new ownership. Everything's new in D.C. as it should be. Cleaning house, drain the swamp, D.C. And now D.C. is off and running with Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner, mobile guy, cannon arm, really likable. I like what they did last night. They're a winner for me. But my number one winner last night didn't even make a pick in the first round. The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Love what they did last night. They were at pick 28. They traded down to, pick 32 with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And they trade down again. And the reason I love them so much is this reason. Pick 28, ring-a-ding-ding, Chiefs call in. Hey, we'd like to trade for the pick. Okay, who you want? Xavier Worthy. Oh, okay, take our pick. We'll move back to 32. We didn't want that receiver there. You take him, we'll wait. No other receivers go in between 28 and 32. It's Guyton, the tackle, to Dallas. It's Wiggins, the corner, to Baltimore. And then Ricky Pearsall, a guy that they may have wanted, goes 31 to San Francisco. They're sitting at pick number 32, last pick of the night. Why is that so important? Is because teams like to trade up to the back end of round one because you get a fifth-year option on those contracts. So the Panthers take the bait. They offer some more picks. And Buffalo is sitting here today with the top pick, which is also for sale again. And they've got all these receivers that are available. If you look at best players available right now, receivers are there. Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman is among their top receivers. They can have their pick of those three, and they've got a bunch more picks. Buffalo knows that they need to reload, and they're getting the picks. So they're my biggest winner from last night. They didn't even make a pick.
Yeah, that makes me want to switch mine to the Bills after hearing that.
Quite the salesman.
I'll have to go back when we get done with the show and figure out what they got in those trades so I can see how juicy it was.
Yep.
My next big winner was the Arizona Cardinals, and that's because in a draft that was highlighted by three quarterbacks off the board, understandably so, the Cardinals probably got the best player in the draft, and there's really no big mystery about it. I always say bloodline players, Marvin Harrison, those legacy guys, they always work. And the Cardinals didn't have to do anything fancy. They didn't get hoodwinked into trading down with anybody. They sticked and picked for Marvin Harrison, and there is no world where he's a bust. So kudos to them, and Kyler Murray needed a target.
And that's a win, too, for the Arizona Cardinals. By the way, I know the compensation. I don't know why this is floating in my brain, but this time of year, draft season, I got stats, I got measurables, I got 40 times, I got hand size, I got everything going on in my brain. The first trade from 28 to 32 netted the Bills a third rounder in exchange for a fourth, and then they did a pick swap in the seventh to move down four spots. And then the last pick, I think it was Carolina's 5 and 6 or Carolina's 4 and 5 for one spot down at the end of the round. So additional ammunition to move back up for Buffalo for a receiver. They're kind of leaning into the Keon Coleman, the Johnny Wilsons of this draft, and I really like that for Buffalo. My other winner, Tampa Bay, I really like Graham Barton. I talked about him yesterday on the show. Center, guard, tackle, versatility. They had some retirements in Tampa. They're leaning into Baker Mayfield. I like what they did. I'll lead off the losers here, and it all depends. But I have the Patriots as a loser last night. I love Drake May. I really do. But he's got to rest. And if they rest him, they're not a loser. If they throw him into the fire and start him over Jacoby Brissett, or start him when they start out 1-3 and be really impatient and try to get him to do all this stuff with a lackluster surrounding cast, which is probably putting it complimentary for New England this year, I don't think that's a good idea. But if they rest him for a year, if they maybe get him in spot duty, let him see the field there when Brissett is dinged up or whatever, or late in the game, that's fine. But Drake May moves the needle as the prospect goes, but I thought he was ideal for a rest scenario. And I would put New England as a partial maybe loser last night for me.
My final winner was the Eagles and Quinyon Mitchell. The Eagles always seem to do this. They get a sweet player in the back half of the first round. Quinyon Mitchell was a guy, when folks asked me, hey, if the Vikings stick at 11 and they don't draft a quarterback, maybe they like Penix later, who are they going to get? I kept thinking Quinyon Mitchell was going to be the best player available at 11. So kudos to the darn Eagles for doing that. My first loser, we already discussed it, is the Falcons. I just don't understand why you would do both. And why you didn't consult Cousins about it. You're spending $180 million, $100 of it guaranteed on Kirk, and then you're going to go get an old rookie quarterback. It just doesn't add up, and I don't know that there's any report or any explanation that's going to make me go, oh, okay, now I get it.
I think the sourest feeling in the NFL draft is when your team or a team trades up for a guy that they probably didn't need to trade up for, and that's where I'm going for my third, or second and third. My 2 and 3 were Atlanta and Denver. Those are obvious. We've hit on those. But I've got two teams that did just that late in the draft last night that I just wasn't really a fan of the guys they got, the value they gave up in order to get that. It's kind of the inverse of the Buffalo Bills. Not a fan of what Kansas City or Carolina did last night. I understand the fifth-year option. I understand you need receivers there, particularly the Chiefs, more needy at receiver than the Panthers, but you trade up for a pair of guys that may have been there anyway, and that's frustrating. Take it from me, a guy that when we drafted Jordan Love, I was excited. I really liked the pick. It was time. I wanted Drew Lock a couple years prior, but my biggest issue with the Jordan Love pick wasn't the pick. It was the fact that we traded up to get him. I didn't think that there was any kind of crazy smoke there that somebody was going to move up, but I think teams kind of get in their own head, get paranoid, and that's what happened last night with Kansas City and Carolina. Not bad players, not bad values per se, but based on the way the rest of the board went, I don't think those players would have not been there at 33 or 32 for those teams respectively. Who else are your losers for last night?
Yeah, speaking of which, for Vikings fans that are curious, the Broncos were calling at the pick to the Jets. That's why the Vikings had to give up two of those picks to move up one spot, is because that paranoia you're talking about, they had to box out the Broncos, which makes sense because they ended up taking Knicks. My next loser is those very Broncos, not because I think Sean Payton will mess everything up. It's that Knicks probably could have got with a trade back. Like, you know, it could maybe even into round two. I understand why they did it, so that they didn't get snatched by somebody else, but Knicks at pick number 12 was sort of a reach. The Raiders I have as a loser, only because I think somehow they're going to mess Brock Bowers up, like I said in the last segment. And then kind of a weird one, not a team, defensive players on the whole were a loser. I'm a defense guy when it comes to football and basketball, and it's really weird that it took that long for defensive players to go off the board. It worked out well for the Vikings and other teams, but going forward, there really should be some equity. There should be edge rushers and cornerbacks that go in the top 10.
It was a historic last night for the offensive players of the draft. We'll continue to break down the draft. Final segment on the way. Got to be a quick one, but we'll talk about future Minnesota Vikings draft capital, what to expect next year, what's ahead tonight in the NFL draft, who's the best player available, who are the names you need to know as we gear it up for rounds 2 and 3. Coverage right here on ESPN Sioux Falls begins tonight with day number 2.
ranked number 2 from the NFL draft at 5 o'clock right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Friday edition of Overtime. Always fun before, during, and after the show. Dustin Baker chatting as always over the breaks. Let's quickly do some best player available, and then I want to ask you and kind of get your take on the immediate future of the Vikings from a draft perspective and anything else you want to chime in as we prepare for night 2 of the NFL draft. Dustin, best players available right now. The top player on the board, small town Iowa native, but originally born in Sioux Falls, Cooper DeJean is the top player available. He was my big draft crush for the past. I didn't think he'd fall to Green Bay. Surely didn't think he'd fall out of the first round. And now, a draft target at the top of round number 2. He's the best player available, according to Mel Kiper Jr. Best player available, according to ESPN.com as well. Other guys at the top of the board, Jerzon Johnny Newton, defensive tackle of Illinois on the board. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama corner. Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas. Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia. Other big names, Florida State's Keon Coleman, wide receiver. Florida State's defensive tackle, Braden Fisk. You also got Edgerrin Cooper, the top linebacker in the draft, and the top running back in the draft, Jonathan Brooks from Texas. Those are your best players available. Who moves the needle the most for you? Is it DeJean or somebody else in the top of round 2?
Moving the needle the most for me is Johnny Newton. He was frequently mocked in the first round, and he probably moves the needle for me because the Vikings need a defensive tackle. Not that they'll be in play for him, because we'll talk about in a second how little draft capital they have for the foreseeable future after round 1. I would be delighted if they somehow found a way to get Johnny Newton. Somebody's going to get a really good player there. And then Cooper DeJean is kind of a no-brainer that he's going to be good. It's just that he's slid out of round 1, and it's whatever team gets him is probably going to get a pretty sweet prospect. I'm interested in the where running backs go. It's this brand-new fascination that we seem to have where they don't go in round 1 anymore, and they're kind of expendable. And so from a fantasy football perspective, or just the fit in general, whether it's Trey Sermon, or is it Trey Sermon? Trey Benson. Trey yep. Sermon's that's an old-timer player.
No, he's in the NFL right now with the Eagles. Yeah, Ohio State a couple years ago.
Yep. Okay, so Trey Benson and Jonathan Brooks, those are going to be RB1 types somewhere. And so for fantasy football and the fit, I think the Cowboys end up getting Jonathan
Cowboys
Brooks.
And Titans are my yeah. mocks there. Yep.
So when the running back run starts a little bit, or just where they go in general, is fascinating to me. But Johnny Newton, if the Vikings somehow had some draft capital, that would be the most intriguing prospect for me.
Cooper DeJean, the top-ranked best player available right now. He's just one of those guys, when he has the football in his hands, whether it's an interception, punt return, kick return, whatsoever, he just looks like a video game kind of guy out there and moves so quickly, so athletically. I watched him a little bit in high school, football, basketball in Iowa. Unbelievable player, and can't wait to see where he lands in the NFL draft. Lastly, before we let you go, somehow, someway, the hour's already gone.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what the Vikings have left this weekend in draft capital, what they have left for next year, and what to expect this year for the remainder of the draft.
Well, it's a big fat goose egg tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So if you expect the Vikings to do anything tonight, you're probably going to be a little sad. There is a path towards the end of round 3, maybe after pick 90, where they could trade their 4th rounder and a 6th. That would work out on trade calculators. Otherwise, if they wanted to look at trading Lewis Cine or Andrew Booth, that could help in a package deal. But there's not going to be, so I don't think there's any way there can be a big splash into round 2 to get Johnny Newton. They just don't have the assets. Saturday, however, they have 5 picks, and that's going to be a 4th, 2 6ths, and 2 7ths. I believe those picks will be a defensive tackle, a wide receiver, 2 offensive linemen, and then probably a running back. I'm hoping for Braylon Allen somehow from Wisconsin, but that's probably a pipe dream. And then part of the drawback of the trades yesterday is they dipped into mid-round draft capital next year. So right now, as it stands, the Vikings have a first rounder, and then is that
two fives,
two fifths, and then that's it.
It.
So that's why I'm glad we came to this, so I can leave the show on this note. When we get to draft season, Vikings fans, everybody's going to call for a trade down because you can start to steamroll whatever pick they have, trade it back once like the Bills did last night, trade it back again, and bada bing, before you know it, you have your draft capital recuperated. So you have the three picks now that can somewhat easily turn into 5, 6, and 7.
And it's an interesting future for the Minnesota Vikings. Definitely an exciting one. I'm excited to have the dust settle a little bit, and we'll introduce the entire Vikings, Packers, and everyone draft class next week on the show, next Thursday. Can't wait for that. Congratulations last night. It's exciting for the Minnesota Vikings. Thanks for all you do for us, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Oh, absolutely. We'll see you soon.
All right. Vikes Now, the place to go. Breakdowns, fan shows, everything there. Also, VikingsTerritory.com. That's Dustin Baker. And now is the time. It's Friday. It's noon. High Noon Showdown. You want to get in on the prize pack, which includes Minnesota Twins tickets. You want to go to the Twin Cities and watch the Twins take a crack of the bat. Dial us up right now. Caller 1, caller 2. Head to head coming up next. It's the High Noon Showdown. Get in on the prize pack. Always a gift certificate to Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats and an opportunity to win some Minnesota Twins tickets. 605-362-3776. 605-362-3776.